Welcome back to Innovation. I'm Kara Hetland, and NASA is scheduled to launch a new satellite next week. It's called TESS, and that stands for the Transitioning Exoplanet Survey Satellite. It's an all-sky survey mission to discover thousands of exoplanets. And I spoke with Dr. Patty Boyd, an astrophysicist at NASA Goddard Space Flight Center, earlier this week. She's also the deputy project scientist for the TESS mission. She says the goal is to search for those unknown planets.
That's exactly what we're going to be doing. So TESS launches on Monday night, and it will have a two-year prime mission. It will survey 85% of the sky with the goal of discovering the closest transiting exoplanets to Earth around bright stars. And these are great targets because we can follow them up with ground-based and space-based telescopes and learn a wealth of information about the planets and the stars.
Explain what you're going to see. Explain that. I mean, how far out are you going? And what can you see with this that you can't already see with the telescopes we have in place?
Okay. So the mission design of TESS is four very wide-field cameras. So each camera is 24 degrees by 24 degrees. You could fit an entire constellation like Orion in one of these cameras. So that's a lot of the sky. And we stack four of those cameras on top of each other to basically monitor a slice of the sky going up 96 degrees. And the telescope is in a very interesting orbit. It's a highly elliptical orbit that takes about 14 days to complete one orbit around the Earth. And when I say highly elliptical, what that means is that it goes quite a bit far away from us, but then it comes back towards us very quickly. And when it comes back towards the Earth, that's when it dumps its data. So it will dump about 2 weeks' worth of data every 2 weeks. And these cameras are going to stare at one region of the sky without blinking for two orbits total, or 27, 28 days. And there are going to be hundreds of thousands of sources in this combined field of view that we will then make specific data for, to look for the tiny dips in brightness when a planet passes in front of the star with respect to us. We don't actually see the planets. What we see is the planet passing in front of the star, causing that starlight to dip just a little, and that's called a transit.
And then you're able to go back and look at this later because you know where it is?
Right. So we'll identify the stars where we see the transits. And if we see two or three transits of a single planet, then we'll know its orbital period. So how long does it take that planet to go around that star? On Earth, our orbital period is 1 year. And we are a distance from our sun that liquid water exists readily on our planet. That's called the habitable zone. So TESS will allow us, by studying those transit times, to determine the orbits of the planets and whether or not they reside in that star's habitable zone. And so what that means is it's going to give us a whole bunch of planets that are going to be really exciting to follow up with more powerful telescopes. The more powerful telescopes on the ground and in space will allow us to measure the masses of the planets, and that will tell us the densities of the planets, give us an indication of what they're made of. And if we're really lucky and the planets are great candidates, we can also study their atmospheres. As the sunlight passes through the planet's atmospheres, it'll leave fingerprints on the spectrum, and that will allow us to determine what elements and molecules and atoms are in the atmospheres of some of these planets.
And a search for life?
So that's a great question, and this is a really important step along that path. The search for life is definitely a journey, and it's one that NASA is really excited to be taking. And the Kepler mission showed us that planets are plentiful. They're everywhere. And TESS is taking the next step, and it's going to find the planets that are the planetary systems nearest to the Earth that are the best to follow up. To search for life, we actually have to do a lot of work, theoretical modeling, technology development, but we're starting to take the next steps there. We're starting to be able to take spectra of planetary atmospheres and put together a picture of what exists in the atmosphere. So the James Webb Space Telescope, which will launch in 2020, is going to be ideal for picking up some of these things that we think are what we call biosignatures, combinations of elements in the atmosphere, molecules, atoms in the atmosphere that would be out of balance if there weren't life kind of driving them. Also be able to look for the signatures of water in the atmospheres. So we're definitely going along the steps to find planets that could be habitable. And once we find those, we'll be able to study them in much more detail with the technology that we have today. And they'll also inform how we develop the technologies and the telescopes of the future to go after even more information from them.
So as you're searching for exoplanets, how are you looking at things differently when you just look up into the night sky?
So I think what's changed is that, you know, a generation or so ago, we would look up at the night sky and we would see stars and we knew that the sun was a star, but the only planets we knew about were those in our solar system. So we would look at the stars and we would wonder if there were other planets out there like Earth. And if there were there people there or beings there that were also looking out at the stars and wondering the same questions? And now we are in a place where we know that planets are everywhere and that small rocky planets like the Earth are not uncommon. So I think as TESS takes that next step and identifies some, you know, really accessible exoplanetary systems, it'll again put just a bit more reality on our dreams when we look up at the sky at night. We'll be able to identify constellations out there and actually talk about the types of planets that are around some of the stars in those constellations.
And you're discovering thousands of planets every time? Is that...
So the Kepler mission actually discovered many thousands of planetary candidates and has thousands that are confirmed planets. So a planetary candidate is one that looks like it could be a planet, and we need to do a little bit more work to make sure that, you know, the mass is right and that we understand the star and that it actually is a planet. So thousands of confirmed planets with Kepler. And now TESS will be taking that next step, and our estimates show us that TESS will be discovering thousands more planets and that those will be around really ideal stars to go after for more information.
What's your personal hope here with this launch?
Oh, my personal hope is that the cameras are wonderful and that there are even more planets out there than we have estimated. There are hundreds of thousands of objects that we can monitor in each 27-day sector that we're going to be surveying. But when you put the whole thing together, we're really talking about millions and millions of stars. So I'm hoping that we just have this bounty of planets and that we've got a picture in our minds of how common a planet like Earth is, that we learn more about how our solar system formed and whether it is a unique place in the Milky Way or whether it's very common.
And how is this mission different from other planet hunting missions?
So it's actually somewhat similar to Kepler in that it uses the same technique. It's searching for transits around stars. But the main difference is the mission design. So Kepler was designed to stare at one patch of the sky so that it could monitor 150,000 or so stars without blinking for about 4 years, looking for Earth-like transit signals. And what Kepler found was that planets are everywhere. They are on all different kinds of orbits. They orbit all different kinds of stars. That small stars that are much smaller than the sun actually have a bounty of small planets orbiting them. And TESS is designed to actually be optimized to find transits around the smaller, cooler, redder stars. These are called M-dwarfs. So it's a survey mission. It's going to be looking at 85% of the sky compared to what Kepler did. That's about 350 times the sky area. And it's really just a finder scope. It's going to identify really exciting planetary systems for us to follow up for generations.
And people can find more information how?
So we've got all kinds of social media presence out there, and it will be very active between now and launch next week. You can go to @NASAGoddard, and there's also nasa.gov/tests. So please do follow us. We'll be updating constantly.
All right. Dr. Patty Boyd, I want to thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
That was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.